KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 33 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be mostly to partly sunny today with a high of 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you this hour by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Governor Terry Branstad says Iowa has some ancient mental health institutions that need review. The Cedar Rapids Gazette reported on Wednesday that Branstad says the state should revamp those institutions to deliver services more efficiently. He noted specifically those facilities at Cherokee, Clarinda, Independence, and Mount Pleasant. Branstad said any review of those facilities would need to be in coordination with the affected communities. The governor made the comments during discussion with state health officials about the 2014 budget. Lawmakers overhauled the state's mental health system last session, and new legislation creates a regionalized system that coordinates services statewide. News time is 8:01.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Well, the Cass County Board of Supervisors discussed at length Wednesday morning the possibility of having a full study conducted on options available and cost to expand facilities at the courthouse or renovate certain areas to accommodate the urgent needs of the Cass County 911 Communications Center. The discussion, which lasted for nearly an hour, began with Supervisor Mark Wiedemeyer saying the Public Safety Commission met recently and has a proposal for the board to consider with regard to a feasibility study.
The Cass County Public Safety Commission would pay 100% of the study if the Cass County Board of Supervisors will commit to either the east wing of the third floor, including the former conservation offices now occupied by juvenile probation and the engineer's office and the administrative offices of 9/11 director and emergency management director for the space for the 9/11 center, or the garage currently occupied by the Cass County Sheriff's Office.
In recent previous meetings of the county supervisors, Cass County 911 Director Rob Coppert stressed the importance of making a decision on where the comm center should go, citing pressing timelines for the installation of next-generation 911 equipment, as well as the space for that equipment and additional personnel. Coppert reiterated that point again during Wednesday morning's meeting.
Just last week on December 6th, it was announced that the four largest cellular groups are going to start providing text and 911 services beginning May of 2014. And so we're in a very narrow timeline to even getting that equipment in here. Physically, it won't fit in the current room that we have downstairs that's inadequate and has the heat issues and whatnot. So we're looking at that particular timeline as being a real paramount issue.
Mark Wiedemeyer said an engineering firm, which had expressed interest in the project since it was proposed last year, came to a recent meeting of the County Public Safety Commission to make an offer on conducting a study of the proposed sites on the courthouse grounds for the 911 center. The fact that so much infrastructure is involved in any renovation of the courthouse, including computer servers, wiring, plumbing, and heating, prompted Supervisor Chuck Reakin to call for a complete engineering study of the courthouse and not a Band-Aid approach to fixing problems as they pop up.
We need an engineering study on this courthouse for needs of the total courthouse, not specifically for one area.
Reakin said if there's going to be money invested in an expansion or renovation, they need to look at the long-term effect of how that will be accomplished and where the money will come from. The board said it would not object to helping pay for the initial study if it included more than just the 911 center relocation. The board concluded their meeting by asking Copper to contact a company which expressed interest in conducting the feasibility study to set up a meeting where a whole courthouse study is discussed instead of the initial partial study for just the 911 center's needs. Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday morning also approved the first of two readings of an amended ordinance that pertains to the Amazing Energy TIF District. The action followed the first of two public hearings on the matter, with the second hearing and second reading to take place during their meeting December 19th. Prior to the public hearing, Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman said the board on May the 23rd of 2007 had enacted Ordinance 28, which provides for the division of taxes levied on taxable property in the Amazing Energy Urban Renewal Area. Sunderman said the amendment proposes that certain property included in the definition of an urban renewal area in the ordinance be deleted from that definition.
Section 1. The definition of urban renewal area found in Section 2 of Ordinance Number 28 is hereby amended by deleting the following language. Parcel A, East Half, Section 317736, Cass County, Iowa, containing 65.08 acres. Parcel B, East Half, Section 317736, Cass County, Iowa, containing 51.11 acres.
After the public hearing was closed and the matter discussed, the board, upon hearing no objections to the amendment, after the first reading, voted to approve it. Well, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers continues to cut water releases from Gavin's Point Dam into the Missouri River. Jody Farhat, chief of the Water Management Bureau for the Corps in Omaha, said the releases were taken down to 14,000 cubic feet per second over the weekend.
Our initial plan was to hold that just for 3 days before stepping down to 12, but we're getting down to the level where some of the water intakes are coming into concern. So we'll probably hold the 14,000 for 5 or 6 days and let that decrease get down past those water intakes and then see if we are able to make any further reductions after that.
By comparison, the average flow has been around 38,000 CFS, but during last year's record flooding, flow rates hit a record of 160,000 cubic feet per second. The current 14,000 is almost a trickle by comparison. Farhat said low water is causing transportation issues on the Mississippi River, but they can't really help with that. Several governors, businesses, and farm groups are asking Congress and the Corps to boost water levels on the Missouri to help keep the barges moving on the Mississippi.
There is a lot of concern about the impacts of this reduction on navigation on the Mississippi River, and so we're getting a lot of calls and monitoring that situation as well, but in reality, Congress has not authorized us to operate this reservoir system for the Mississippi River, so we intend to get down to our winter release rate and hold it there unless something changes.
Levels of the upstream reservoirs continue to fall, meanwhile, and Farhat says that it'll be a balancing act all winter long.
Most of the reservoir storage is in the upper three, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe, and those three reservoirs are currently between 5 and 14 feet below normal right now. We'll be moving water between the reservoirs over the winter period, and by the start of next year's runoff season, each of those upper three reservoirs will be between 10 and 12 feet below the desired operating level at the start of a runoff year.
And the Missouri River level at Yankton is now 16 feet lower than it was during the record flooding in the summer of 2011. Sioux City has reached an agreement to extend a lease for the floating Argosy Casino. The city and casino operator Penn National Gaming Incorporated agreed to extend the casino's lease for another year with an option to extend it for an additional 18 months after that. The city council must approve the extension. The existing lease expires at the end of January. Now, the city collects about 3% of Argosy's adjusted gross revenue under the contract, and about 300 people work at the casino. A land-based casino will replace the Riverboat Casino in Sioux City. Three developers are seeking a state license to develop that land-based casino. Taking a look now at national and international news headlines, a leading conservative Republican is predicting that President Obama will win the fight over taxes and fiscal cliff negotiations. Jim DeMint, who's resigning from the Senate, tells CBS's This Morning program that a tax increase would amount to a political trophy for Obama, but that it would be bad for the country. Democrats say House Speaker John Boehner is unwilling to crack on the key issue of raising taxes for the wealthy, and House Democrat Nancy Pelosi is now warning against raising the Medicare eligibility age. Meanwhile, the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits fell sharply for a fourth straight week. The Labor Department says weekly applications for jobless benefits fell 29,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 343,000. The Commerce Department is reporting that retail sales rose 0.3% in November, and that was led by sales of automobiles, electronics, and building supplies. A 6-year-old Texas boy has been released from the hospital after his father allegedly carved a pentagram on the child's back. Police said the child's father called 911 and said he carved the pentagram on his son because it was a holy day. It's not clear if he was referring to yesterday's date of 12-12-12, a once-in-a-century event. Overseas, some experts say North Korea is still years away from having a shot at developing a missile reliable enough to strike the U.S. mainland. The North's launch of a long-range rocket on Wednesday outraged world leaders who consider it similar to a missile capable of attacking the U.S., Europe, and other faraway targets. North Korean space officials say the satellite will be used to study crops and weather patterns. And coroner's officials in London say the nurse who was duped by two Australian DJs apparently hanged herself. A coroner's inquest was told today that two people found nurse Jacinta Saldana hanging by a scarf from a wardrobe in her nurse's quarters at the hospitals where the pregnant Duchess of Cambridge was being treated. Saldana was the nurse who initially took the phone call from the DJs, who pretended to be Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles. News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In the funeral announcements this morning, Robert Francis Carter, age 82, of Carson, died Monday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Robert Carter will be this morning at 10:30 at the Henderson Christian Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Harvey Sandhorst, age 70, of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Harvey Sandhorst will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. James Jim McCallan, age 43, of Ashland, Oregon, died December 4th. Funeral services for Jim McCallan will be tonight at 7 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Robert Bob Arbach, age 94, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Bob Arbach will be held on Friday at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Marilyn Busey, age 57, a lifelong Cass County resident, died Friday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Marilyn Busey will be held this Saturday at 10:30 at the First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Wyota. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Stephen Hess, age 68, of Earlham, died Tuesday at the Taylor Hospice House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Stephen Hess will be Saturday at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Earlham. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Marilyn May Nielsen, age 78, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital. Funeral services for Marilyn Nielsen will be Saturday at 10:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Fred Nielsen, age 80, of Menlo, died Monday at Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Fred Nielsen will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. And Louis Lou Henry Hall, age 69, of Defiance, died Wednesday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. Funeral services for Lou Henry Hall will be held on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.